Aleluia. Aleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately that it's going to rain, and so it does. And when you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say that it's going to be hot, and so it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? If you are to go with your opponent before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge. The judge hand you over to the constable. And the constable throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you pay the last penny." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last night, as I was exiting the gala for the Gianna Center with some of your sisters, they were all saying how much they appreciate the letter to the Ephesians. We've been pondering this last week and how deep it is. It is deep. And today we have the big transition in the letter to the Ephesians. The whole point of the letter to the Ephesians, as we've pondered in the first three chapters, is that Christ came into the world to reconcile all things to himself in Christ. And through that reconciliation, to make us holy and immaculate in his sight. In this second half of the letter, which we'll study through next Wednesday, it is the practical consequence of that divine work. To reconcile all things in God and to make us holy and immaculate. So today, St. Paul, at the beginning of this second section says, "I urge you to live in a manner worthy of this call you have received, to be reconciled to God and to each other, and to be holy and immaculate." And so what are the virtues we need? It says first, humility, because pride always divides. Translated here, gentleness, it's proutes in the Greek, it's really meekness. The strength to be able to bear things with others, not having to fight back, not having to defend ourselves. Not having to find others a threat because we know we have the inner strength that God is there. Patience, macrothumia, the ability to wait out of love for the right outcome. Bearing with one another through love, that there's an affection in the way that we relate to those to whom the Lord has come to reconcile us. Striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Christ has established a bond by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're called to preserve, to strengthen. And it goes on in one of the most beautiful passages in all the sacred scripture about the unity that comes in our faith. He gives seven different realities that we could ponder throughout a retreat, really, if we wanted to. One body, one spirit, one hope of our call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And if we think for a second that there's even a place in which God's reconciling will wouldn't pertain, as if there's an exception anywhere, St. Paul says, "Who is over all, through all, and in all." So this will pervades everything. To make us one body, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the vocation we've all received to be reconciled, holy and immaculate, to recognize that there's only one Lord who calls us to follow him, one faith and entrustment, one baptism that has made us all reconciled in his passion, death, and resurrection, and one God and Father who calls us all his children. What an extraordinary reality that is that Paul's going to be building on over the rest of the week. It's not just an individual reality. It's we immediately responded, "Lord, this is the peace." people that longs to see your face. He wants us to be able to long together. We need to be children in order to be able to receive this mystery, which was the gospel antiphon. And then finally, in these words that Jesus gives us about reading the signs of the times, he wants us to focus on receiving this gift urgently. Talks about being able to read the meteorological signs. If we know it's raining, we pack an umbrella or a raincoat, etc. We're very practical about those things. What he's trying to tell us is we need to be just as practical in bringing about that unity and corresponding to God's work to preserve that bond. If we can read meteorological signs and don't focus on the bigger spiritual realities, he said, we're just fakers, we're actors. God wants us to be even more practical with the things of the soul. In this last passage, why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? That doesn't mean determine right and wrong. But don't wait for somebody else to really tell you that you need to act on this. You know that the trial's coming, he would say in the analogy. So start making peace now. You know that you're going to die. And it could come like a thief in the night. So don't procrastinate. Work on it now. If there's someone with whom you haven't reconciled, don't put it off. Settle now. If there's a way in which you're not preserving unity, but being divisive, stop it now. If there's a way that you're not actively cooperating with what God wants to do to bring about that full unity, now's the time to collaborate fully. We know that when Jesus celebrated the first Mass, that in his own post-consecratory embolism, he prayed that we might be one, as the Father is in him and he is in the Father. Jesus always seeks to make us one body and one spirit because of the one hope of our call. Let us cooperate fully, because he's about to rain down himself. Praise be Jesus Christ. Yeah.